Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. This is a new day that the Lord has given us, and I thank the Lord for it and all that He's doing. He cares about every individual, every soul. Don't think that for a moment that the Lord didn't act upon some plan to reap those that are reapable, because He evaluates everything. I know Him this way. Everybody that's like Him, He uses them to win souls, to prepare them for the next generation. See, the Lord has to prepare a generation to reap another generation, a new generation, a coming generation. So He needs people that can reach people and be very strong in the Lord at younger ages. So some people have ears to hear, while some do not. Sometimes people respond to the anointing variedly. And you won't know this before God called me to the ministry. Everything in my mind was pretty good. And then I thought a certain way, you know. And I thought that I thought I had it all figured out. I thought if you were a preacher, you were good. If you were, if you loved the world, or you know, if you were worldly, you was evil, whatever. you just didn't care about God. That's not true either. In this world, nothing's really like it seems. There are preachers that are good and wonderful people, and there are some that's, you know, not so much. And there are people in the world doing whatever right now and today, but they have a heart that cries out to God. They want to know Him. So people are in different situations for different reasons, and they make choices based on how they've been taught, raised, or how they see life. So every generation the Lord has to, He don't just save us and we think of salvation as God blessing me, God's, you know, doing good things for me. No. He does. He loves us. He cares about us as an individual, but He also prepares us for what's next. If we will go there, you know, Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. And today I'm talking about people that are chosen. He saved us. We're in faith. We have covenant with God. And then He called us to the ministry, and we draw near to the Lord, and then He chooses us for something. People that are chosen are different than people that are, let's say, called to the ministry. Called is good, but chosen is better. That means you're dedicated. It also means you're in firm agreement with God, and you're very dedicated to the things of God. And you have a love for His people. And you don't let things stop you. So, one generation, God prepares a current generation for a future generation. He's always done that. Now I want to talk about mindsets. There are so many mindsets. If I said before I was called to the ministry, I thought things were pretty much at face value, like they look. Before I was a Christian in the first place, I thought that things were basically how they looked or how they appeared. Then as you grow older, you start seeing things for what they are. If you grow older and you don't get saved, the enemy will attempt to give you his version of what things are. And some people walk around with a limited opinion of things that's governed by the enemy himself. So the enemy don't want those that are really good to be known for being really good. He wants to accuse them. He wants a buffer between those that really love God and those that have a heart cry. And the reason is they can help you and you can be blessed by them. So If you anybody you can be blessed by, Satan wants a buffer between you and that person or people. And that's why you have to pray for all your friends that are known good friends. They have always given you good advice, always been there for you. Don't let those relationships die. Keep up with people that love you, that enjoy your company, that care about you. Keep up with them. People that God has used in the past to bless you, don't let them out of your life. If you move to another state, let them be the people that you call or use or keep on Facebook. Keep in contact with people who love you. All the pastors that have been a blessing. You know, as a young man, when people would bless me, I didn't think to, you know, it just wasn't in my wheelhouse to go and tell them, hey, I appreciate what you did for me. I'm talking about teachers, older people, people in my community that had lived a life that inspired mine. I didn't go and tell them how they, you know, that was kind of rare if I did. I didn't think about it. But see, when I used to ride the bicycles and mini bikes in the neighborhood and I see men talking to their wives, it gave me a vision of what I desire. I desired to have a wife that I could get along with. But I didn't go and say, you know, y'all really inspire me. That don't happen. And it, you know, if you do what's right, you encourage people along the way of life. And they're not at a mature point where they're going to come and tell you every little detail you did. But as you think about it, as you're older, you can appreciate things. When you're a child, you think as a child. When you're older, you think as an older person. When you're an older person that loves God, you think far beyond your normal capabilities, and so it is for everybody. But if you grow older and you're grown and you're not connected to the Lord yet, then things will look sideways. But when you draw near to the Lord and you have a relationship with Him, you start seeing things from a God's eye view. God, the Word of God gives you that God's eye view. And then you say you appreciate the people that were praying for you and helping you stay out of trouble. And the people that encouraged you and gave you vision to do greater things. But when you're a child, you don't think about all that. So in God's wisdom, and I know this because He taught me, but He brought it to my attention. But when He began to bring it to my attention, it was a mystery. See, the Lord told me years ago, back in the 90s, early 90s, He said, it's better for this generation to follow me now. But if they don't, I'm going to raise up a new generation that don't know me yet. And I'm going to work through them. And I didn't understand. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted all the ministers I knew at the time to follow God to His specifications way back then. Because God said it was better. And people that were interested in salvation, they were teaching. And they were still young enough to make a difference. But the pastors of that day, they would have had to jump on board with God, and the people would have jumped on board with them. And the Lord helped me see that. He showed me. Most of the time, I talk about visions. I would see things sometimes. Visions were rarer than word pictures. God used to give me a word picture. A word picture is when I would write, and the Lord would talk about what would happen if the pastors that He sent me to would follow God versus not following God. So in the word picture, I would see the blessed side of what would happen versus the disaster side that would happen. So of course, I wanted the blessed side to happen. And when I had a message that was a blessing or something that I could see the pastor doing great things, I enjoy giving those words, but the warning words I didn't enjoy as much. But I had to give it because I had a vow in my life that I would obey God. So, you know, if you listen to these broadcasts, you know that I've been through all these things, but I don't mean to harp on it, but that's how it was. So, but the Lord said He put it this way, the new generation that He would raise up would be like Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, He called him Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian of all people. from the land of Shinar. And the Lord used him with his inferior army to conquer the whole world and destroy Baal worship. And he was a Baal worshiper of all things. But Nebuchadnezzar had a desire for what was right as well, more than his desire to be a Baal worshiper. God gave him the kingdom, and he put Daniel over it. So that was something bad about Nebuchadnezzar, but that was also something useful and good about Nebuchadnezzar. He was a man's man, and he was a Baal worshiper type fella. He was very superstitious, but he wanted to know God. He started seeing through the deception of idolatry. So when he had a dream, he didn't just want somebody that can interpret it. He wanted them to tell him the dream that God caused him to forget, and then tell him the interpretation. Or if they couldn't, he was just going to do away with them. He was just going to, you know, let's get rid of this deception. And that's as bad as it sounds, it's a good thing to want the rotten stuff out of your life, because it's not necessary and it can't help you. He had enough sense to know that. But Nebuchadnezzar, he took Baal out of the mouth of Israel. When he got through with them, they didn't ever talk about Baal again. Ever, and they not. Now, all the other countries that loved these other idols, they called, when Nebuchadnezzar would raid that town, they would call on their God, and then they'd get destroyed before their eyes, and their soldiers would be destroyed, and all their hopes of having a free life was gone. And then he'll take them behind right on to Babylon, and the wisest people would be his best slaves, and they'd be the educators and people that they had the high positions, but they were controlled. They couldn't leave. They didn't belong to themselves anymore. They belong to Nebuchadnezzar now. And so their best armies and their prayers and their cantations, everything about them that, you know, everything that they looked to was under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar. And none of their prayers helped, none of their cries helped, none of their incantations helped, or witchcraft, none of it worked, and they behind went right on to Babylon and had to stay there under Nebuchadnezzar's control. So, then they had to die there. They couldn't go back home. And Nebuchadnezzar owned everything else. He owned their land, their cattle, and everything, and he did how he wanted to do, and his army became rich off of the people. So listen to me. Nebuchadnezzar, God raised him up to do this. He was a judgment hammer in God's hand. And then the enemy tried to tempt him to fear the people. Because when he looked out at all those cultures, his kingdom was full of cultures, and most of them didn't like him. So the enemy tried to produce fear in Nebuchadnezzar when he looked at the people. And then when the people looked at Nebuchadnezzar, they felt fear. See, fear attaches you to Satan. That's why he wanted to make that idol. So in the kiln where they made the idol, he tried to burn the three Hebrew boys that wouldn't bow down to this new idol that he made. So they wouldn't bow down to it, so he put them in the fire furnace. He saw the fourth man in the fire, knowing that that was the Son of God. He said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. How would he know what the Son of God looks like? But that's what he said. So he repented from his judgment call, called them out. Then he brought them to honor. And then he said, if anybody speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I get it right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If anybody talk against these, their house will be made a dunghill. And so the same one that put them in the fire furnace, he repented. you know, because they wouldn't worship his gods. So, in the mind of the culture of that day, people made gods you could see. And so he made a golden image. And if you didn't worship these images, then, you know, you had to go in the fire furnace. Where they made the doggone thing in the first place. So they wouldn't worship him. And then when they put him in there, he brought him out. Then he said, anybody that speak against their God, their house will be made a dunghill. And they'll be, you know, in trouble. So Nebuchadnezzar became, he was a person that was worldly. But he came to a point that he was also a person capable of repenting and doing the judgment of God. So the people, the kind of people that he would raise up is people that will hear him. See, Nebuchadnezzar, as crazy as he was, he would listen to God. Ultimately, he was the kind of person that when he saw four men in the fire, he changed his tune. And the Lord, he was the kind of person that God could work with. So the kind of people God is raising up are the kind of people that will listen to the Lord and obey him and not get sidetracked with pride. See, you can't serve God wholeheartedly if you think just like the devil. A greedy man can't put God first. A proud man cannot ever put God first. And a lustful man definitely can't put God first. I should have said the proud man definitely can't. So, people, they had a reason. Every time God told them to do something, they had a counter reason not to. And that generation in the 90s, they always had a reason not to do what God told them to do. And what God sent me to warn them about, see, when people are caught up in something, the Lord will raise up somebody, just like he raised up me to fulfill a purpose. He raised up people to fulfill purposes. Now, he could have gave me what most people would expect. Maybe you'll be a good youth pastor or something. That's not what God told me to do. And I wanted to work with you. I had a desire to, but that's not what God told me to do. And I had my own business. And I presented myself before the Lord. Lord, what do I do as a minister? Who do you want? I said, I was willing to do whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted, however he wanted. I didn't care. But what he taught me was he raised me up to do something that was necessary, while other people were doing things that I had thought to do. And they had a grace for what God, you know, they had an anointing for God, what God gave them. And I had an anointing for what God gave me. And it wasn't popular. It wasn't the thing to do to win friends and influence people, because I felt like people didn't listen, which, of course, not to God's specifications. Some people did, but most people, I say 90-something percent, didn't. So, along the way, he gave me Living Letter Ministries to help people along the way. There were things that I wrote to bless people, to be a blessing, to exhort people. I wrote those poems and words. And I look at them today, and it's just like God gave it to me fresh, because they are living letters. The words are still alive. And people who find them, they tell me the same thing. It ministers to them currently. And they say, I don't throw stuff like that away. And it blesses them. People are alive and got saved because of those letters. And it's just the handiwork of God. But see, last night the Lord showed me something. He said, you know, when you're anointed, he wasn't satisfied with the way people responded, even to little old me. Because when you're anointed and you're doing what God said do, people are going to have all kind of opinions about it. Some people are going to respond positively, while others, in my case, many others responded negatively. Now, these are some of the things that happened against me. if God give me something, I continually ran into pride. People would literally, if you speak a comment that God gave, it's just a comment that was of God. People could tell it was of God, but they are in the conversation and avoid talking to you. And I could not understand that at all. Why? Because in my mind, you draw near to the Lord. If somebody can do something to or say something that's a blessing, that heals your life, why get offended against them? And so many Christians got offended. I don't like saying this, but I'm going to tell you the truth, because so many people have said the same thing, and so it happens too much among God's people. Some people will get jealous against you, not want to talk to you in the conversation. While some people you have, what you intend to be, have a 15-minute conversation, it ended up 3 hours going by. While others, you tell them something God said. Just try it one day. Draw near to the Lord. He'll draw near to you. He'll give you something that somebody needs. And if you tell people that God didn't send you to, and sometimes the people that he do send you to, they're going to have a problem with you. And nobody has to tell you this. You're going to experience it if you are anointed and if you go about doing good. I was the type of preacher that sat around and, if God would deal with me and I didn't say nothing, I would let people know. Because he gave me a vision saying, let not my people lack knowledge. And anybody that would listen to me or talk to me for a while, I would talk to them. Now, some people responded positively while others responded negatively. And why would somebody do something like that? Well, people do things based on what they see others do. There were pastors that shunned people that love God. They stay in their corner, and they want to, some people want to be preeminent, and I don't know why people act the way they do. And sometimes people your own age, that's not pastors, you tell them something, or they're Christian, they love God, and you tell them something that God say, they'll stop hanging around you. It's crazy. Then you have those that want to know more. And then there are those that tell you what God told them. And not in competition either. So some people are more competitive. Now, another thing I run into, Christian people, bless their heart, can be very finicky. If you are of another denomination, they don't want to hear what you have to say about God because they got it all figured out. And if you're a Pentecostal and God is moving you, a Baptist person can't tell you nothing. A Methodist person can't tell you nothing. And if you, I've seen this, that's so ugly to me. And then if you're a Baptist that's enthused about God, and they look and say, well, those Pentecostals, they exaggerators. They're very superstitious. And they try to, the focus is different in denominational churches. They want to be wise. They want to be educated, open-minded. Those Pentecostal people are so closed-minded, narrow-minded. And all they want to do is shout. So if God give a Baptist man a book, there are so many people that won't read it because he's a Baptist. If God gives a young Pentecostal man a book, if he's not well known, then nobody's going to read it, because the Baptist won't read it because he's Pentecostal. The Pentecostal won't read it because he's the same age as I am, or they don't like to read, or they don't teach like we teach. See, there are different types of Pentecostal churches. So God has a problem. People are so divided. It's just weird. And then your kinfolks ain't going to read it because they're your kinfolks. Jesus said, a prophet's not without honor except around his own kin and his own country. So if you are a writer, you know, I watch people and I started understanding that if I wrote a book and I invest in that book, and it's about God, I started understanding people are not going to be so fast to read it. I said, if I write a book and it's successful and people read it and it's a, you know, I wasn't really looking to make money on it. I was looking to be a blessing to people, get to relay the information. That was my main goal. It wasn't to sell books. You know, now if I wrote something, a movie or something, or something that was just worldly or fun to watch, somebody would want to, you know, the world, they love their own. They'll buy it. If it's just interesting, people to buy it. But if it's about the Lord, then people, they critique it. Because that's not how my pastor teach. That's something that I never looked into. People are finicky that way. But when the Lord gave me those writings, I saw something. I said, well, and the title would be catchy, you know. It'll make you want to look into it. And it's just one page, easy read. So people will read that. So I was able to relay a lot of thoughts that God was giving me to me. And as I did, he gave me more. So if you're faithful, you will multiply your faithfulness. God will always give you something if you have a heart and mind to be faithful. Now, I'm not trying to go around the world to say something, but I have to. I learned how people are, how divided people really are. And if you write a book, a lot of people, Christian people, will be jealous against you. And they won't read it. That's what God was dealing with. So God raised up a new generation that just loved him. And they're not jealous against it. And you see, the Lord told me also, he said he was going to raise up people. They can't be controlled with finances. They can't be controlled with money, which means that there are people that can be controlled with money. They can't be controlled with fame, but because there are people that are being controlled by fame. They won't envy each other because God had, and at the time, people were still envying one another. And they had petty strifes against each other. I'm talking about Christian people. And see, the Holy Spirit can't use that. Then you got those that are preeminent against people. God can't use that either. If you notice, the people that God ever, the people he raised up and used in a mighty way, they were not like that. They were not deceitful. They were like Abram. He, back in the fifth, when he was on the scene, A.A. Abrams, he had the healing meetings. You can look at it on YouTube. People put those films on YouTube. He didn't care if you was black. He didn't care if you was white. He didn't care if you was a child, a woman. If you needed healing, he was all for it. And he called people out for being racist. And he loved everybody. And God did a mighty work in his life. Now, same thing with William Seymour, a black man. And God is not a racist, but he prayed and God broke down those barriers for him and he started a great move of God. See, racism is crazy. Preeminent pride is gone buck wild. That's what it is. He don't like it when black people hate white people or when white people hate black people or any race hate another. That's not God. And God he don't rest on that. He rests on people that love him, that love others like Jesus loved them. Not just, Jesus said, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Then he taught, also then he taught his disciples, or the disciples taught, treat others the same way Jesus treated you. In other words, love other people with the same love that Jesus loved you with. See, that's the kind of people that this new group became. They saw the flaws and failure of the first generation, and they broke through that barrier. They may not be as educated, but they're the kind, they have a heart that loves God. And they learn things correctly. See, Daniel, the Lord told Daniel that through the angel that knowledge would be increased. Well, now knowledge is increased. You got people at younger ages understanding how to handle holy things without getting in pride. And you got younger people writing books. You got younger people doing the move of God. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar, a man that didn't understand the half as much as the people he was arresting and taking off to Babylon. See, Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't that he was a better warrior. He had an inferior army, and nobody was afraid of him when Jeremiah told him that they were going into captivity. And I say that he had an inferior army because people wasn't afraid to fight him. But when he came, I'm out of time, so I'm going to have to end. Jeremiah said, even if the war goes south and Nebuchadnezzar's men get wounded, he's still going to take this city because God was with him. So Nebuchadnezzar wasn't as brilliant as the people he took into captivity, but he took them into captivity because God was with him. Just like this generation, they love God without the pride. They don't think like the devil. They don't operate with petty jealousies and such. Consider these things, because God is moving mightily through people who love him, and God makes the difference. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Remember, our Lord, our King, he won't put his stamp of approval on worldly things.